So I've been looking the last couple of days at the book of Job, and specifically we've been talking about how when we speak, there's power of life and death in the things that we speak. Now, we know that from several places in the Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament too. That's just a truth, and it's a powerful truth that we need to remember. The things that we say do matter, and the things that we say do bring about results. The things that we say, there's power in it. And so if we speak words that line up with the Word of God, you know, we empower the Holy Spirit to move through those words to bring those things, which are already done in the spiritual realm, to bring them to pass and be manifested here in the natural realm. If we speak words that are contrary to the Word of God, those are words are death. They tear down and they destroy. Should we do that, then we're actually speaking words that bring about. We empower the enemy of our lives, to move through those very words, to bring those things which we do not want, but we bring he's empowered them to move and bring those things into our lives. So we need to be very careful about the things that we say. We need to make sure that our words line up with the Word of God. Now, the world teaches us something different. And the world is always constantly training us and teaching us to complain, to speak words that are contrary, to speak words that are just opposed to the Word of God. I was talking to a mom recently. She said, and that's one of the hardest things that she has to deal with, is because, you know, her five-year-old is so easily trained by the world. So here's a five-year-old who's being trained by her peers, her five-year-olds, who are learning this from their parents and from the world. Here's a common phrase that is being spoken. Well, this is the worst day ever. It could be the start of the day and one thing goes wrong, and this is the worst day ever. And so the mom is training the five-year-old that, no, we don't say that. And here's why we don't say that. Trying to make sure that that which the rest of the world is being bound up by, they're not bound up in their household. Sometimes we don't stop to realize how much we allow bondage in our own lives by the things that we say. Now, we've been seeing this truth, as I said, you can see it throughout the Bible. But we've been looking at that truth specifically from the book of Job, and how Job has his friends. Again, we know that Job is suffering great affliction because of Satan. We know it's from Satan, but at the moment that the story is unfolding, Job and his three friends don't see that. They don't understand that. They don't realize that. And basically, the bulk of the book of Job is an ongoing conversation of Job's three friends against Job. And the three friends keep condemning Job and saying, Job, the only reason this can happen to you, it's evidence of your sinfulness. This kind of bad thing could not happen. God would not punish you this way, because they did not understand that it wasn't God, but they were saying that God would not punish you unless you deserved it. This is evidence of your own pride. It's evidence of your unrighteousness. And Job keeps coming back and saying, I am in right standing with God. I've done nothing to deserve this. And the more that Job has his end of the conversation, the more it angers and infuriates his friends, who then speak harsher and more critical words. And we looked at that in some detail yesterday. Today, what I want to do is pick up where we left off. If you remember in chapter 19 of Job, after one of Job's friends had just spoken some very bitter, harsh words, the most bitter and harsh words spoken by any of the three friends so far. And the words that he spoke offer no hope. The words that he spoke offer nothing but death and condemnation. They are with no hope, and they are spiteful words. And then Job says something that is just so true. He says, how long will you vex and torment me and break me in pieces with words? Now, we saw this yesterday. It's important to notate that Job didn't say just with your words. He didn't say, how long will you break me to pieces with your words? Which would be the natural way to say it. But he said, and he was very specific, how long will you break me to pieces with words? See, Job was understanding, and we can understand from this. This is a true illustration of what happens. Job is saying, you are breaking me to pieces. You are shattering me with words. Not just your words, but it is the words that are coming out of your mouth. Words will break. Words will destroy. Now, think about the things that we speak. Think about the things. Go back to yesterday. Did you have any confrontations, or any time this week, have you had any confrontations with people that words were exchanged, and maybe it got heated, and maybe it's what you said to that individual, or perhaps it's what you said about that individual after the fact to somebody else? Think about the words that we speak. There's power in those words. And so the words that you speak to someone else, you might speak them because you're just venting frustration and venting anger. And we can even justify in our own minds and say, well, they deserved it because they said or they did this to me. They deserved that tongue lashing. But we need to understand what the enemy does not want us to understand. The enemy wants us to just speak words and let those words tumble out of our mouth because he knows that the words that you and I speak, those words which are not words of love, they're not words that line up with the Word of God, he knows he can move through those words to break into pieces the lives of the people that we are speaking those words to or we're speaking those words about. Now, we don't ever stop to think about that. We just feel good because, well, at least I got that out of my system. And that goes back to what one of Job's friends said earlier. One of Job's three friends said, you know, I can't stop myself from saying this. Well, of course you can. No man is controlled only because we allow it. No man need be controlled by his tongue. It's not like we don't have the will or the ability to stop our tongues. We just choose to speak. And in the same way that one of Job's friends said, well, I can't stop myself from saying this. Yes, you could. And yes, you should. And we see that Job's friends actually, the things that they spoke, because Job remained righteous and Job did not blame God. Because Job continued to look with hope and Job stood, God did redeem. And the things and the words, we saw this yesterday, the very words that Job's friends spoke, those words came back on them. And they had to live with those words. There are consequences to the words that we speak. Job didn't just say your words, he says words. This is the power that comes from words. Watch the things that we say. And we also don't realize this sometimes. The words that you speak, they're either life or death. Now, if we're speaking words of death over somebody, we are breaking to pieces that person. You might not see it and you might not realize it. But if you be able to look back, words, sometimes you don't see the results immediately. Sometimes it's taken over weeks, months, years, sometimes even generations until you see the fulfillment of those words that were spoken. See, we look at things in the immediate. If something hasn't happened in the immediate, if there's not an immediate, if we don't see a cause and effect result, then we just assume that there's no impact to it. We don't do a good job of seeing things over the long haul, but God is a God of the long term. You can go back and look at the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament and look at how many generations it took for those words that had to be spoken by the prophets. The words that had to be spoken out loud until God could move through those words and bring Jesus to come to redeem the world. It took generations. And yet the words that were spoken generations ago had their life and had their fulfillment in Jesus. And we know that the most of those words were spoken at least 400 years before because there was that 400-year silence from Malachi's words until the coming of Jesus Christ. How many generations? But this is the power of the spoken word. The words that you speak today, if you speak harsh words and words that are words of death and words of destruction, if you speak that over someone else, and let me even suggest this to you, you know, in your family, it's easy for us to really be unguarded with our family because, you know, we know they have to. They can't leave us. And so we do tend to take them for granted. And it's easy for us to say words and to speak words which are harsh. And maybe are those words that are contrary to the Word of God. Maybe they're words that are words that tear down and destroy. And it's easy for us to speak those words, even to our family. And yet, let me give you an example. Beyond just the fact that we can see that the prophets, because maybe you can say, well, those are prophets, those are men of God. There was power in their words. We need to understand that there's power in our words as well. Whether you're a prophet or not, there's power in your words. And let me give you a real-life example. My grandfather, when I was, I don't know, less than 10 years old, spoke at church. He spoke at his church. And he spoke in his church, and I can see, because I have his Bible, I can see a prayer that he prayed, and he wrote out the prayer that he was supposed to give at church. And I can see that prayer because he wrote it out as he read it. And I have that prayer. And I can see the things that he spoke almost 60 years ago. And you know what? Those words that he spoke, they didn't start to come to pass or start to be fulfilled until probably 5 years ago. They didn't take place in his life at all, and they didn't take place in his son's life. But he spoke those words, and they're being realized and manifested in his grandson's life, 60 years, 50-some years later. There's power in words, and that power doesn't dissipate over time. We need to be cautious and careful of the things, the words that we speak, especially because it's so easy for us to be unguarded in the words that we speak to those that we love the most. And yet the words that we speak have impact, and they impact the lives of the people we speak them to. As Job said, "How long will you break me with words?" We also know, as we look, staying in chapter 19 of Job, let me just go down to verse number 24. I'm going to read verses 24, 25, 26, and 27 to you. So Job says, and I love this. Well, let me start in verse number 23. "Oh, that the words that I now speak were written." This is Job. As he's given this response to his friends, he says, "Oh, I wish that the words that I speak now were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book or carved on a tablet of stone." Job is saying he wishes. He understands. This chapter reveals an insight that Job had into the power of words. He knew that the words were breaking him to pieces, but he also knew that the words that he was speaking, that God could move through those words to bring those things about. And he says, "Oh, that the words that I speak, I wish that they were written." Right there's evidence of the power of the spoken word. As Job himself said, "I wish the words that I was speaking were written." Guess what? They were. They were. Because 3,000 plus years later, more than 3,000 years after the fact, guess what? I'm reading those words to you. The words that Job spoke over 3,000 years ago, I'm reading them to you. Job said, "Oh, I wish that the words that I spoke." You think words don't have lasting meaning and impact? Job's words that he said he wished they were written down, they were. And they still have impact today. That's the power of words and the words that we speak. He went on to say that in verse number 24, that with an iron pen and molten lead, that they were graven in the rock forever. This right there is the key to everything. Job is saying, "Oh, I wish that the words that I was speaking today, I wish they were written down forever. They were written down with an iron pen. And that they were written with an iron pen, and they were written in a rock forever." If you go through the book of Job, you see several references, especially once you get to some of those middle chapters. You start to get a prophetic insight from the words of Job, although he doesn't even realize it yet, but they're prophetic words about Jesus Christ himself. And he identifies a desire to see a mediator, one who would mediate with him before God. He's speaking about Jesus. And here, he's saying, "Oh, I wish that the words that I spoke today were written down forever, as though they were written with an iron pen, written down upon the rock forever." Every word that you speak that is a word of life, every word that you speak today that is a word that lines up with the word of God, every word that you speak, which is a word of life and truth, in the same way that Job said, "I wish it was written down forever," it was written upon the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock, and Jesus is the word. And so when we speak his word, not the words of the world, not the words of our own frustration and emotions, but when we speak his word and words that line up with his word, he is the rock. And his word is written forever. And so when we speak those words will have power and impact and life and deliverance for you and for those that you speak those words to. That's the power of the written word. In your words, when your words line up with the words of the rock, Jesus Christ, they will impact and carry out. They will have an impact forever that rings through to eternity. You can speak words today. Words of life over someone else's life. Words of life that help bring people to eternity. Words that truly have an impact forever through Jesus Christ. This is the power of the spoken word. Then in verses 28 and 29, as he closes out, as we finish chapter 19 in the book of Job, Job says, if you say, how we will pursue him, and continue, I'm sorry, if you say how we will pursue him and continue to persecute him with the claim that the root cause of all these afflictions is found in me. So Job is saying, if you're going to continue to speak these words and you're going to continue to say that I am to blame, that it is because of my sin that this has come upon me. If you're going to continue to say that, then beware and be afraid of the sword of divine vengeance. For wrathful are the punishments of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment. He's saying in no uncertain terms, he's condemning his friends with a warning. If you continue to speak this way and to say the fault is mine, be aware of the sword of judgment because of your words. There are consequences to your words. Job is saying there are consequences to your words. When you speak things that do not line up with the word of God, there are consequences to your words. Now, we've already seen those consequences are for us or for the lives of those we speak it over, but it is also consequences that will come back for us. This is Job chapter 19, and this is just a principle that is so powerful. Think about the words you speak today, and think about the words you speak over others, because the words you speak today will have an impact to the good and to the life of Jesus Christ. You speak words that line up with his word. It can have an impact that resonates through all eternity, but it can also have an impact that breaks the people that we speak to, and it can have an impact upon our lives as well as the consequences of our words. Let's be cautious of the words that we speak.